بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We continue where we stopped in عمدة الفقه. الشرط الرابع, the fourth condition, الطهارة من النجاسة في بدنه وثوبه. He said, purification from impurities on his body, clothes, and the place of prayer. طيب, so he has to purify his body from النجاسة. Of course, he has to be, يعني the salat, you need wudu. But what if before the wudu, you have to remove the najasa? And after the wudu, if the najasa comes, you remove it. Again, there are different madhahibs can differ about this. The opinion that we follow is, if a najasa, after you made your wudu, you changed the nappy of your little baby, and a little bit of urine came on your hand, a little bit of filth still came on your hand, then you wash it, remove it, and you go to the salat. No need to repeat your wudu. طيب. Now, purifying the body before the salat is one of the conditions of correctness, the prerequisites. Because in Bukhari and Muslim, it is being narrated when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by a graveyard or two graves, فقال about these two people in the graves, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ لَا يَسْتَتِرُ مِنَ الْبَوْلِ وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَكَانَ يَمْشِي بِالنَّمِيمَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he passed by these two graves, he said, indeed, they are being punished, and they are not being punished by a kabir. He's saying it's not a major thing to avoid. He's not saying kabir that it's not a major sin. No, it is a major sin, but it's not major issue for you to avoid. The first one, he never used to yastatir, meaning he does not watch out when he was urinating from the urine comes back on him. As for the second one, he used to walk around the people with namima, and both the namima, yani slander and backbiting, and urine are the same. They're both filth. One filth comes from the mouth, and the other filth comes from the private parts. So here, and in the narration of Sahih Muslim, he said, لا يستنزه من بوله. He never used to clean himself and purify himself from his urine. The two narrations, the one in Bukhari and the one in Muslim, explain one another. The first one says لا يستتر, and the second one لا يستنزه. لا يستنزه mean he never used to clean himself. لا يستتر, cover himself. Of course, one will explain the other one, and you will result with, and never used to watch out from the urine coming onto his body, and also he never used to clean himself from urine properly. So this is the dalil that he has to purify himself. وَثَوْبِهِ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and يعني his thawb, his garment, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ, Surah Al-Muddathir, verse 4, and your garment, your clothing, فَطَهِّرْ, purify it. وَمَوْضِعُ صَلَاتِهِ, also the place of the salat. The place of the salat has to be pure and clean. The place of the salat. So there are three places. You have to make sure three things. There are three things you have to make sure they are clean before you pray. Your body, your thawb, and your place of salat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ, in Surah Al-Hajj, verse 26. And purify my house for the ta'ifin, for the ones who are circumambulating it, the tawaf, and al-qa'imin, the ones who are praying, وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ, and the ones who are bowing and prostrating. So the place has to be clean and pure. One would say, طيب, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The earth was made for me a masjid and a tahur. We say there is no conflict between the two. The hadith that says, the earth was made for me masjid, a place of prayer, and a mean for purification, does not contradict this. The basic principle, if you look at the place of the prayer, let's say you're in a park, you look at it, it looks clean for you. So, the basic principle for you to remain on that asal, that it is clean, unless it is proven that it is filthy. And then you pray. Tayyib, you've seen filth on it, then you have to clean the filth. You've seen a dog just walked past, lifted his leg and urinated. And then you go and say, the basic principle, it's clean. Ya Rabbi, you've seen the dog urinating. So khalas, you do not. If you've seen the dog urinating, khalas, this now, the principle was removed and the najasa came to overtake the principle. Then you can't pray there until you clean the place. So, even inside your house, if there is a stain, and the stain looks to your ears, a coffee stain on the carpet, then you pray. But you've seen your little son, nappy-less, and he's sitting here and you know he's been urinating and you see some stain. Of course, al-qarina now, the evidence show that most likely he urinated there. Then you need to confirm the place is clean. Do not become paranoid, but at the same time, do not be a neglectful person about this. Here then he said, إِلَّا النَّجَاسَ الْمَعْفُ عَنْهَا كَيَسِيرِ الدَّمِ وَنَحْوِهِ. We go back to what we spoke about. He said, rahimahullah, except the impurity which is overlooked, like a small amount of blood and the like. Here he said, except النَّجَاسَ الْمَعْفُ عَنْهَا. Is there a najasa that is overlooked? Yes, a small amount of najasa. Dam and similar to it. Why he mentioned dam and similar to it? We already spoke about this previously. The dam, because there is a difference of opinion about the dam, except a dam al masfuh. We spoke about that previously. But a small amount of urine and a small amount of the stool is not ma'fu anha. It's not overlooked, because this is an extreme najasa with the consensus of the ulama. You see, so there are different types of najasa. You see my point here? So here he's saying, كَيَسِيرٍ مِنَ النَّجَاسَ. For example, a fly came on you, the mosquito came and you hit the mosquito and blood came out. That is a najasa ma'fu anha. Najasa ma'fu anha. But urine stool, that is not najasa ma'fu anha. Once you see it, you have to remove it. وَإِنْ صَلَّى وَعَلَيْهِ نَجَاسَ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَعْلَمْ بِهَا أَوْ عَلِمَ بِهَا ثُمَّ نَسِيَهَا فَصَلَاتُهُ صَحِيحَةً. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah, he says, if he prays with an impurity on him and he is unaware, or he forgets about the impurity on him, his prayer is correct. Now, if someone praying and he has najasa he did not know about, or he knew about it but he forgotten about it, meaning you knew there was a najasa on your thawb but you forgot, you stood to the salat and totally forgot about it, طيب, your salat is correct. Is there a dalil? Yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith that is collected by Ahmad and Abu Dawood, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَلَعَنْ عَلَيْهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ, when Jibreel came to him and he told him that there is in it khabath. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying in his na'al. Jibreel descended on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him there is filth in your sandals. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed it in the salat. The companions followed him. طيب. They thought that something was revealed on him. Total obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Total blind following to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he removed it. Now, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeat the salat or continued his salat? No, he continued the salat. That is a proof that it is not what does not nullify the salat. وَإِنْ عَلِمَ بِهَا فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَأَزَالَهَا وَإِنْ عَلِمَ بِهَا فِي الصَّلَاةِ أَزَالَهَا وَبَنَى عَلَى صَلَاتِهِ. Here he said, if he becomes aware of it during the prayer, he removes it and completes his prayer. خلاص. If you are aware of it, you are praying, and then you become aware of it, you do as the Prophet ﷺ done. You just continue your salat. You remove it, you continue your salat. But if you find out about it and you insisted to continue your salat becomes void. Remember, if you knew about it and you've done nothing about it, now your salat becomes void. If you left it, you say. But if there is a time of you thinking, طيب, take this scenario. You're praying, you saw najasa. Now for a small amount of time, you're reflecting in your mind and saying, is this najasa or not? Then you thought about it, you say, yes, it is najasa. I was just cleaning my baby's nappy. Okay, now I know it's najasa. What do I do? Now that time so far, it does not nullify your salat. Why? Because you're establishing what you need to do. And then you thought, okay, the Sheikh taught us to do this if we found najasa. Can we move and can we do this? Can I take my thawb in the salat? I cannot. You're concluding to do something. And then you say, okay, now I can take out my thawb because I'm wearing clothes under it and so on. And you took off your thawb and you put it aside, you continue your salat. So that timing is not going to make your salat void. But if you've seen it and you reached a certainty that this is a najasa and you continue praying, say, who cares? It's all about intention. Now your salat becomes void. وَالْأَرْضُ كُلُّهَا مَسْجِدٌ تَصَحُّ الصَّلَاةُ فِيهَا إِلَّا الْمَقْبَرَةُ طَيِّبْ وَالْحَمَامِ and so on. He said that the whole earth is considered a masjid, a place of salat. All of the earth. Now he gave some exceptions, rahimahullah. He gave some exceptions, rahimahullah. إِلَّا الْمَقْبَرَةِ. He said, إِلَّا الْمَقْبَرَةِ, except the graveyards. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Jundub bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, he said, I sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qabla an yamuta bi khams. I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he passed 5 days. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ, and the hadith in Sahih Muslim, أَلَا وَإِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ كَانُوا يَتَّخِذُونَ قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ وَصَالِحِيهِمْ مَسَاجِدْ إِنِّي أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. He said, indeed, the ones before you, they used to take the graves of their prophets, place, and their righteous, masajid, places of prayer. Indeed, I forbid you from doing so. The ahadith are many mutawatira about this issue, mutawatira, that you're not allowed to pray in the graveyards, طيب, or the graves, or the places of where there is graves in it. Now, here, really the ulama differed. Not differed that it's not allowed, differed the reason behind it. The correct opinion, because it's a mean to shirk. Some ulama, they said, because from the graves, they will be produced sadid, yani the filth that comes from the rotten body, and the earth will be mixed with it, and then the prayer in it, you're praying in a place that is najis. The matter is, this is a weak ta'lil, there's a weak analogy. The correct analogy is that it leads to shirk. And the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Prophet ﷺ was dying, and he put a khamisa on his face, the khamisa is a small piece of cloth. And he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَيْسُ السَّلَامِ. May Allah curse the Jews and the Christians, they took the graves of their أنبيائهم and their righteous ones and so on as places of worship. So you're not allowed to pray in Al-Qabr. And the narrations are many. Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw one companion praying towards the grave, he said to him, wait, be careful, the grave is in front of you. It is in many ahadith, and it is repeated from the ulama. It is also a lot of narrations from the companions. So, under that falls, also praying in a masjid that has a grave inside of it. You're not allowed to pray in a masjid that has a grave inside of it. One would ask, Tayyib, Masjid al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that's a common misconception. We say Masjid al-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam for a specific reason. Yani there is a specification because of the Masjid al-Rasul alayhi salam. Even though our mashayikh from the ulama of Ad-Da'wah al-Najdiyah, some of them spoke about this extensively. Some of them say we don't pray in the side, that there is a grave in it. Some of them even went to the extreme to say we even dislike praying in it because there's a grave in it. But correct opinion, هذا المسجد له خاصية. This masjid has a specific virtue, that it is, the hasanat is multiplied, that's why we pray in it. And also, it was introduced to it, it was not part of it. You have to also go back to the books of Aqidah, spoke about this. This is not the topic now. And here he said, والحمام. Al-Hammam is not the toilet, Al-Mughtasal. Al-Hammam, what they call a public place where people have showers in. طيب, and the dalil of it, what has been narrated from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the hadith, the ulama spoken about its authenticity, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الأرض كلها مسجد إلا المقبرة والحمام. All of the earth is a masjid except the graveyard and al-hammam. Why it's called hammam? Comes from the word hamim, heated water. Hamim, hammam, heated water. The heated water there. And it's also known today as Turkish bath or a bathroom. Now, some ulama, عللوا, they said because it is a place where the awrat is regularly exposed. So it's a place should avoid. It is a place where the awrat is regularly exposed in that place. That's why some ulama said the reason behind it. Well, hush. Hush is the toilet. Hush is the toilet. And it is the place where you do the call of nature there. And the salat is not allowed to be in it. وَأَعْطَانُ الْإِبِلِ. Camel stable. Also, why camel stable? Why not the sheep stable? Because we say the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, collected by Muslim, عن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أصلي في مرابد الغنم. Do I pray, ya Rasulullah, in marabid al-ghanam, in the stable of the sheep, ghanam? He said, na'am. Qala, usalli fi mabarik al-ibil. Do I pray in the stables of the camels? He said, no. Khalas. Now, at-ta'lil can be why and why not, and so on and so forth. Because the jinn, the ibil is created from jinn and so on. That is not our discussion. It's like when we said eating camel's meat. Why? That is a wisdom. But we said, khalas, the hadith says it nullifies the wudu. Khalas, we take it. The hadith says we don't pray in it. We don't pray in it, and that's it. وَقَارِعَةُ الطَّرِيقِ. And the middle of the road. One would say, why? We say there is a hadith here, and the hadith also, the ulama said it is weak, so it is not dependable hadith, as it is being narrated on the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu and collected by Ibn Majah. As I said, it is weak hadith. سَبْعُ مَوَاطٍ لَا تَجُوزُ فِيهَا الصَّلَاةِ. 7 places you're not allowed to pray. ظَاهِرُ بَيْتِ اللَّهِ, on the roof of the Kaaba. وَالْمَقْبَرَةِ, and the graveyard. And al-mazbala, the rubbish dump. Wal-majzara, the slaughterhouse. Al-hammam, not the toilet, the bathroom where you have a shower. Wa'utun al-ibil, and the stable of camels. Wa mahajjat al-tariq, in the middle of the road. Now, regardless of the dalil, aqlan, someone on the bus stop, he decided to pray in the middle of the bus stop. Taib, why? Why don't you go to the side of the road, far away, طيب, where you can take a side place and pray. Or pray on the footpath. Some brothers, they decide they want to pray on the footpath. You will always find a place that you can take in the side of the road, away from the path of the people to pray in. Same thing in the park. If you are in the park barbecue with the family, take a side place with the people. Not hiding from the people, as some would say, oh, I'm not going to hide, I'm going to show my deen. Jazakallah khair, show you deen. But take the side of the road, or the side, on the side, and pray. Now, also, yani the majority of the ulama, they would tell you, you can pray in qari'at al-tariq, yani in the middle of the road. It does not nullify the salat. But the best is to do what? To take, just not to be in the path of the people. That's it. Tayyib. Now there is one and last important point. Praying inside the church. Praying inside the church. Now, it is not in the book. I just like to mention it because people always talk about it. Inside the church and the musalla inside the airports. The interfaith musallas. Inside an airport, in other places. I just mentioned these two, inshallah, and we seal the lesson with this. And next week we'll start with the fifth condition, if we are alive. As for praying inside the church, the majority of the ulama, they said you're not allowed. Some say it is dislike, and some say it is haram. The second opinion, the dalil, of course, because Umar radiallahu anhu and Ibn Abbas, they refrained from praying inside the kanisa. Tayyib. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I mentioned this hadith to you previously, where he appointed Bilal radiallahu anhu to wake them up for Salat al-Fajr, but Bilal prayed. Bilal radiallahu anhu slept. And then when he waked the Prophet ﷺ for the Salat while the sun has risen, he said, the Prophet ﷺ, let's move from this place. This is a place a shaitan came to us and yani made us fall asleep. So, since it is a place, hadara fihi shaitan, what more place that the shaitan yahdar, like the churches and the synagogues and ma'abid al-shayateen, where they worship evil, wal-iyadhu billah. As I said, some ulama, they said it's makruh, and some ulama said it's haram. Of course, also it's a place where the shirk is practiced. Yani, cursing Allah is practiced there. Where they say Allah is a three and so on. If a place where al-hammam, the ulama said you can't pray in the hammam, that because it's a place, usually the awrah appears. People uncover the awrah there and they wear and dress. But what about something worse than showing the awrah? Ash-shirk billah appears. But anyway, for the sake of the debate of the ulama, the second opinion is the famous opinion according to the Hanabila. The Hanabila, in their vast majority, they allow it. Here, Ibn Qudama said, وَلَا بَأْسَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فِي الْكَنِيسَةِ النَّظِيفَةِ. And it is no issue in praying in the clean kanisa. Mind you, if there is no idols, because you'll be prostrating to idols. He said, رَخَّصَ فِيهَا الْحَسَنِ وَعُمَرْ بِنْ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ allowed الْحَسَنِ, يعني الْحَسَنِ الْبَصْرِ, وَعُمَرْ بِنْ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ وَالشَّعْبِ وَالْأَوْزَاعِ and so on, عَنْ وَسَعِيدِ بِنْ عَبْدِ الْعَزِيزِ وَرُوِيَ عَنْ عُمَرْ وَأَبِي مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِ. And it's been narrated that Umar also and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari allowed it. وَكَرِهَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسِ وَمَالِكِ الْكَنَائِسِ مِنْ أَجْلِ الصُّوَرِ. And Ibn Abbas and Malik, they dislike it because the suwar, the images that are in it. وَلَنَا أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Listen to Ibn Qudama how he justifies his opinion. And to us that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى في الكعبة وفيها صور. He prayed in the Kaaba and there was images in it. ثم هي داخلة في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأين أدركت فأينما أدركتك الصلاة فصل فإنه مسجد. And it enters under the general statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whatever the salat time comes to you, فصلي, pray, it is a masjid. And also that the Prophet ﷺ, as I said, he said that he prayed in the Kaaba and the Kaaba had images in it. Of course, this is a strong debate. But at the same time, the majority of the ulama, they attribute to what? This general opinion that says, whatever the salat time comes to you, it's also specified. Yani if the salat comes to you in Mata'in al-Ibil, can you pray? No. If the salat comes to you in the hammam, can you pray? No. If the salat time comes to you in Qari'at al-Tariq, according to Ibn Qudama, he is the same author of the Umda and has a weak dalil, no. So he is putting it under the general statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third opinion, a narration from the Imam himself, Ahmad, one of the narration, لَهُ أَن يُصَلِّيَ فِيهَا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهَا تَمَاثِيلٌ وَتَصَاوِيرٌ. He is allowed to pray in it as long as there is no statues and pictures and images. قال ابن تيمية رحمه الله والثالث هو الصحيح المأثور عن عمر بن الخطاب. And this third opinion here, it is what it's been narrated from, it is the correct opinion that is narrated from Umar, وهو منصوص عن أحمد وغيره, عن أحمد وغيره. And it is narrated from Ahmad رحمه الله and others. أنه إن كان فيها صورة صور, that if there is images in it, لم يصلي فيها, you're not allowed to pray in it. لأن الملائكة لا تدخل بيتا فيه صورة, because the angels do not enter a home, a house that is a surah in it. ولأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يدخل الكعبة حتى محي ما فيها من الصور. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not enter the Kaaba until the images were in it, were rubbed out and removed. وكذلك قال عمر إنا كنا لا ندخل كنائسهم والصور فيها. We never used to enter their churches or their kanais, their places of prayer, والصور فيها. And the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, that we're not supposed to pray inside their churches altogether, and specifically in their time. Why we're not allowed to? First and foremost, it is the madhab of the jumhur, the majority of the ulama. Secondly, because it's a place of shirk and kufr. Thirdly, because for your deen, people will start questioning your deen when they see you prostrating inside a church. They start questioning you. Fourthly, and the most important, in these days specifically, where they're pushing a new religion, which is interfaith, and the modernists using this difference of opinion amongst the ulama to suit their agenda. They say, see, Islam is a deen of interfaith. The deen of Islam does not deny other religions. The deen of Islam embraces other religions. Welcome with open arms other religions where you're allowed to pray in the church. And the proof, look what Imam Ahmad says. Look what the Hanabila says. Look what this alim says. Yes, what our respected ulama spoke about, they spoke about different perspective altogether. They used its place of prayer. Not because they accept polytheism. No, because it is the dalil of Ibn Qudama. You heard the dalil. The dalil of Ibn Qudama, that a general dalil, whenever the salah time reaches you, pray. And some restrictions, there's no images and idols. Back then the Muslims were in power. But now the Muslims are weak. It's going to show that you are accepting polytheism. So that's why we refrain. But then, ya akhi, if there is a severe rain, storms, thunder, everything, and you had to pray there, and there is no place to pray, pray and in a place you make sure there is no idols or pictures. If it gets worse, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined the salat for udhur. So you always have for rain. Yani, you always have a way to get out of it. Now, as for places like airports, sometimes they make an interfaith musalla. Some universities, they do not allow you to have a Muslim musalla. They say an interfaith musalla, place where everyone pray. Now, make sure when you pray towards the Kaaba in that place, that there is no images in your face. If there is images in other, yani in the side, just put your jacket on it or something to cover the images and pray. If you have no choice of covering it and there is nowhere else to pray, make sure in your direction there is no images of idolatry. The fifth condition, الشرط الخامس. قال رحمه الله استقبال القبلة, facing
the Qibla.
So, the fifth condition from the conditions of Salat is to face the Qibla, to turn your face towards the Qibla. Now, facing the Qibla, the Dalil for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِنْ حَيْثُ خَرَجْتَ فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَحَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ فَوَلُّ وُجُوهَكُمْ شَطْرَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the meaning, and from wherever you come out, turn your face towards al-masjid al-haram, shatr al-masjid al-haram, towards the direction of al-masjid al-haram, and wherever you are, turn your faces towards it. Now, when you turn your face towards the Qibla in your Salat, you are really turning your face towards the direction of the Kaaba. The direction of the Kaaba. This is where you turn your face in the Salat. The Dalil for that, it's the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 150, and the consensus of the ulama, as it is being narrated by Ibn Hazm rahimahullah, and also in At-Tamheed by Ibn Abdul Barr, and other ulama also who narrated this. Of course, this is simple. An issue comes up. If I am in a ship, or in the plane, or in the bus, and the time of the Salat going to expire and finishes, we have what? We have condition of the Salat, and Arkan al-Salat, and Wajibat al-Salat, and Sunan al-Salat. The conditions of Salat, you cannot compromise on them, the prerequisites. You cannot compromise them. Like istiqbal al-Qibla, directing your face towards the Qibla. Arkan al-Salat, al-Ruku' and al-Sujud, in the obligatory Salat, they cannot be compromised. Now you're in a situation that you cannot completely direct yourself towards the Qibla. Or you are in a situation where you cannot do Ruku' and Sujud. Then what do you do? Let's just say Adhan al-Asr expires 10 past 8. The time of necessity finishes 10 past 8, which is the starting of Maghrib. If you're going to reach your destination or a place you can pray in before Adhan al-Maghrib, you wait. Let's say, for example, you're in a bus and you will reach your destination or a place you can pray by 7:15, 7:30, then you wait until you get there. Now something came up and you cannot reach your destination at the time of Maghrib, before the Maghrib time comes. What do? You pray Asr and you fulfill those conditions and those obligatory acts and those pillars to the best of your ability. Meaning, if you are in a ship and it's constantly moving, then you stand and make takbir and you start, you turn your face towards the Qibla and you start your Salat. The ship started to move a little bit. You move with it to stay towards the Kaaba. Let's just say it started rocking and moving everywhere and you can't control it anymore. Then you pray to the best of your ability. You in a crowded bus, you cannot make ruku' or sujood. Like all buses, you probably cannot, even if it's not crowded. What do? You direct your face to the Qibla and you start praying. You do the sujood and the ruku' to the best of your ability. So you do not miss Asr. Even Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah went as far as, if you're going to miss the Salat and you don't have wudu, then you can do tayammum. You can do tayammum. Let us say it is a joinable Salat, with no neglect of your own. It happened that you're stuck in a situation that you cannot fulfill the prerequisites
nor perform the pillars of the Salat as you were supposed to. A crowded bus, you entered at the time of Dhuhr and stuck in the tunnel and there is an accident. And they told you, you won't reach home before 4:30. And 4:30, Asr starts. What do you do? Do you compromise the prerequisites, meaning the conditions, or the pillars of the Salat, or you join the Salat? Here, Haja is risen. Then you can join the Salat when you get to your house. But do not abuse this principle by becoming like the Shia. Join all the time. No, this is only if a need risen. But if you cannot join, then you have to pray in any way that you can. The matter clear. So, to summarize the condition, the fifth condition is istiqbalul qibla, facing the qibla, meaning the direction of what? Kaaba. Illa fi an-nafilati 'ala ar-rahilati lil-musafir, except for a traveler in extra prayers on his ride. What does it mean? That means you are on your ride or in your car and you want to pray the nafil. You're traveling. You want to pray the nafil. What do? You can pray it without the direction of the qibla. You pray in any position that you can pray. Mafhum? You're in the plane. You want to pray the witr. You pray seated. And sometimes some airlines, like the Malaysian Airlines, they have a specific room for you to pray. A little spot you can pray in it. Here he said, فَإِنَّهُ يُصَلِّي حَيْثُ كَانَ وَجْهُهُ. He can pray in the direction he is facing. So in any direction you are facing, you can pray. And that's why in the hadith narrated by Muslim عن Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصلي سبحته حيث توجهت به ناقته. قال ابن عمر وفيه نزلت فأينما تولوا فثم وجه الله وهذا الحكم مجمع عليه. Collected by Imam Muslim, hadith from Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray the subha, which is the nafila, the extra salat, in any direction that his she camel used to turn. And in this Allah revealed this proportion from Surah Al-Baqarah, this proportion of the verse, and wherever you are, there is the direction of Allah, which is the direction you can turn your face for the Salat. And also this hukum is by consensus of the ulama and also the ones who narrated the consensus like Ibn Abd al-Barr and others and Ash-Shawkani in Nail al-Awtar. وَالْعَاجِزُ عَنِ الْإِسْتِقْبَالِ لِخَوْفٍ أَوْ غَيْرِهِ فَيُصَلِّي كَيْفَمَا أَمْكَنَهُ. He said, also, a person who cannot face the Qibla because of fear or something of the like, he should pray where and how he can. So, another exception comes that if you are in a state of fear, you're fearing the enemy, you're in a battlefield. Of course, there is Salat al-Khawf, but that is different. You are in the battlefield. You are يعني, at a state of fearing or fearing something. You cannot stand up and pray. Or for any other reason. Like for example, you're guarding something. Someone would say, Ya Sheikh, I'm a security guard. I pray when I'm standing. I say, Ya Akhi, when you have a security guard, because this is something repeated. Understand. This is something what? Repeated. This is your job. So you need to accustom your job according to the Salat, not the Salat according to your job. Because the fiqh here is to accurately understand the Shaykh what he's saying. The Shaykh is not giving you an open license. He's saying what? He said, لِخَوْفٍ يَعْنِي something that happens, but not often. أَوْ غَيْرِهِ. Know how many of you go out on Hirasa, you are in a battlefield, and the Amir tells you, can you protect the mountain for me, that in case an army coming through, you're standing watching the army, Salatul Asr going to end, what do you do? If you turn your face, the army could come and kill all your brothers in Islam. La ya akhi. This is then the Sharia gives you that room to pray while you are watching. And many narrations are from the Sahaba and others. So pay attention, because some brothers read and they understand with their own understanding. No. And we have to also understand Kalam al-Ulama. Kalam al-Ulama is very accurate. فَيُصَلِّي كَيْفَ مَا أَمْكَنَهُ. Pray anyway he is able to. As for the Dalil, what is being narrated by the Bukhari on the authority of Nafi' an Ibn Umar, أَنَّهُ ذَكَرَ صِفَةَ صَلَاةِ الْخَوْفِ. Ibn Umar described to his students, which is Nafi', the way of Salat al-Khawf, Salat of fear. ثُمَّ قَالْ فَإِنْ كَانَ خَوْفٌ هو أشد من ذلك صلوا رجالا قياما على أقدامهم أو ركبانا مستقبل القبلة أو غير مستقبليها. قال نافع لا أرى عبد الله بن عمر ذكر ذلك إلا عن رسول الله. Pay attention. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Pay attention. This is what? In Bukhari. And he said the دليل in Bukhari. نافع narrated from Ibn Umar. Now الصحابي describing a ibadah the companions and the Prophet used to do it. So, is that considered a sunnah or considered an ijtihad from Sahabi? It's a sunnah. يعني it takes the ruling of a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as if the Prophet uttered it. He said, فَإِنْ كَانَ خَوْفٌ هُوَ أَشَدٌ. He's describing Salat al-Khawf. And he came to a point, he said, when there is a fear more than this, he said, then the companions will pray رِجَالًا قِيَامًا عَلَىٰ أَقْدَامِهِمْ. What is رِجَالًا? Not men. No. رِجَالًا means standing on their feet. So they pray standing. Now there is extreme fear. The battlefield is heating up. أَوْ رُكْبَانَ. Or they're riding on the horse. مستقبل القبلة. Some of them would turn to the Qibla, or not مستقبل القبلة, or they're not turning towards the Qibla. The time of the Salat comes, they pray while they're sitting on the horse or standing, or even some of them in the battlefield they will pray. مفهوم. And he said, نافع, he said, I don't see this except that Abdullah رضي الله عنه, he narrated it from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم himself. Because see, Ibn Umar, he did not say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He described the companions, radiallahu anhum, and he described how they used to pray at the time of fear, or extreme fear. So anything that is to the level of extreme fear, or fear, then you follow the same rule. Let's say, for example, a captain who's flying the plane, he cannot take his eyes or his hands away from the controls. What does he do? And the time of the Salat comes. The time of the Salat going to end. We say Al-Asr, because it is unjoinable Salat. What does he do? He prays in any direction to the best of his ability. So he doesn't miss Salatul Asr. So we said, the one who's not able, and the one who is at the state of extreme fear, he prays the obligatory Salat and the extra salat, the nafal salat. Now here he said, وَمِنْ عَدَاهُمَا لَا تَصُحُّ صَلَاتُهُ إِلَّا مُسْتَقْبِلَ الْقِبْلَةِ. He said, apart from these two situations, the prayer is not accepted except that he faces the Qibla. What are the two situations? Meaning the traveler and the one who is عاجز, not able to. Like state of extreme fear and so on. Apart from that, your obligatory salat, it is not accepted except if you face the Qibla. And the nafl salat also, you have to face the Qibla. The obligatory salat and the nafil salat, apart from these two excuses, you have to face the Qibla. And that is the consensus of the ulama, as Ibn Abdul Barr said in the Tamheed. فَإِنْ كَانَ قَرِيبًا مِنْهَا لَزِمَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ إِلَىٰ عَيْنِهَا. Here he said, if he is close to the Kaaba, he is obligated to directly face the Kaaba. What is it? If you are close to the Kaaba, meaning you can visualize the Kaaba, you have to pray to the Kaaba itself. لَزِمَتْهُ الصَّلَاةُ إِلَىٰ عَيْنِهَا. It's obligatory on you to pray to the Kaaba. So you cannot swerve around from it. You have to pray to it itself. Because the dalil in Bukhari and Muslim, and Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came out from the Kaaba, he prayed two rak'at facing and in front of the Kaaba, and he said, this is the Qibla, and this is also by consensus, and the consensus is narrated in Bukhari. Now, وَإِنْ كَانَ بَعِيدًا فَإِلَىٰ جِهَتِهَا. And if he is far away from the Kaaba, he faces the direction of the Kaaba. You see, because you cannot pray accurately 100%. So you pray towards what? To the direction of the Kaaba. And also this is by the consensus of the Ummah, as it is being narrated by Ibn Taymiyyah and others. Now also there is a hadith the ulama spoken about its authenticity. It's narrated by Tirmidhi. مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ قِبْلَةِ. Between the east and the west there is Qibla. This is how they used to find it in Hijaz. Between the east and the west there is a Qibla. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's pointing to the direction. So if you are a little bit off, it is not a big major problem. And this is also, and I will read to you what Ibn Taymiyyah says, because some brothers become frantic about it. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said in Majmu' al-Fatawi, وَهَكَذَا قَالَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَلَا يُعْرَفُ عَنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ فِي ذَلِكَ نِزَاعٍ وهكذا نص عليه أئمة المذاهب المتبوعة وقد حكى متأخر الفقهاء في ذلك قولين في خلاف مذهب أحمد وغيره. طيب, here he said, and this is meaning what we're talking about, that if you are a little bit off from the direction of the Qibla, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that more than one companion said that the salat is correct. And he said, and we do not know any differences amongst the companions about this issue. And this is also a nas, yani clear wording from the imams of the madhahib. And also the later scholars, they differed on two opinions within the madhab Ahmad. But the correct opinion, as you know, it is agreement amongst the sahaba and the consensus and khalas the issue. So here, if you are a little bit off, there is no problem. Not too much. We're saying a little bit, a degree or two. Also, what we need to understand, if someone, for example, as you know, here in Australia, we turn towards the west. Other countries, they turn towards the east. Some countries around the world are in the middle. What do they do? Meaning their distance from west and east. A country in the middle. If you turn to the west, you're all the way to the Kaaba, all the way to the Qibla. And the same distance of if you turn east, what do? You pray any direction that you like, because you're both correct. But of course, if there is a masjid and the masjid adopted one of the two directions, don't get smart, you follow the jama'ah. Because some brothers get too smart for their own good. It comes. But my opinion, I love that, my opinion. Wallahi, I have brothers can't even read the Fatiha. Wallahi, they cannot read the Fatiha properly. They speak about what is from the manhaj and what is not from the manhaj. And they say, this man is a Salafi and this man is not a Salafi. Wallahi, yani, I don't like to call him himar, but they got 70% of the traits of a himar. The 30% is a human. But 70%, طيب, traits of himar. Can you do? Himar al-natiq. ما هو المناطق? What did they define a human being to be? حيوان الناطق. The human being, the أهل المنطق, وعلم الكلام, they called it حيوان. We are talking animals. He's from the talking animals, he is a talking donkey. الله يجزيك الخير. وإن كان, we said, وإن خفيت القبلة في الحضر سأل. Now, he said, if the qibla is unknown to him while he is settled, يعني opposite to traveler, mean a resident. You traveled to a city. You're not out in the sticks, in the bush. You traveled to a city. You traveled from Sydney to Melbourne. Or you traveled from Makkah to Beirut. Is there Muslims in Beirut or not? So, you went to Hadar. You're not a traveler. Now you went to a residential place where there are Muslims. Easy for you to find out. Then what do? You ask. Can I ask a woman, a man? Yes. Even a woman or a man. This is, can be confirmed with khabar wahid, with one person. Once one person who is trustworthy to you and he has no reason to lie to you, khalas. You take his opinion and you pray to the qibla. وَاسْتَدَلَّ بِمَحَارِبِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Or he can use to find out al-mihrab of the Muslims. What is the mihrab? What do you translate mihrab to be? The concave place inside the masjid where the imam stands. That is called what? Mihrab. You can know where is the qibla from where? From the mihrab. And this is, once you enter a masjid and you see the mihrab, and you knew the direction of the qibla. Today, in the Salafi masajid, they have a sticker. هذه جهة القبلة. This is the direction of the qibla. Because it is a bid'ah. A mihrab, and we elaborate about that later in the lesson. طيب. So, once you see the sign, or you see the mihrab, then what do you do? خلاص, this is your qibla, and you know the qibla. طيب, do you have the option to oppose it, or you have to follow it? Now you have to follow it with the consensus. Because this is, the jama'ah of the Muslims see that as the qibla, and you direct yourself to it, and this is by ijma', as many ulama have narrated this. وَإِنْ أَخْطَأَ فَعَلَيْهِ الْإِعَادَةُ. Here he said, he should ask and be guided by the direction of mihrab in the masjid. If he makes a mistake, he is to repeat it. So, you went to a place where it is easy to find out where is the qibla. You entered the hotel, you want to pray your salat. You didn't ask. You just looked around, you thought, okay, khalas, this is the direction, and I pray. You didn't ask. You just thought this is the qibla. After you finish the salat, you notice that there is a little tiny tag on the ceiling. Says direction of the qibla. What do? You have to repeat the salat. Why? Because you didn't investigate enough. And you are in the hadar, in a place that you can easily find your answer. So you are neglectful in attaining one of the prerequisites in the salat. Hence you have to repeat the salat. Mafhum? وَإِنْ خَفِيَتْ فِي السَّفَرِ اجْتَهَدْ وَصَلَّى. If he makes, if it becomes unknown while he is a traveler, he should make his own ijtihad. So, if it is unknown to you and you're traveling to a country on the country road, bushwalking, whatever happens, the time of the Salat comes. You want to pray. Which way is the Qibla? You do ijtihad to the best of your ability. Either by the stars. You can find out through the stars, if you know. Today with your iPhone, with the compass, there are many means. Tayyib, if you're lost in the bush, how would you know east from west at night? Cloudy. So, you're in the bush, lost at night, cloudy. How would you know? I'll give you this hint. Some of the trees, you find that it is moss. There is a growth of moss on one side, like a growth bacteria, green. Grows on one side, bigger and heavier than the other side. The east is that side where it is, where there is no growth or minimal growth, and the west where there is a lot of growth. So, you know then east from west. And hence, you are able to know your east from west. Of course, if in Australia you worked out what is the west, then it's easy to work out where is the Qibla. This is just an example. طيب. So, you do your ijtihad and you pray. وَلَا إِعَادَةَ عَلَيْهِ And there is no repeat upon him. Meaning, if you made a mistake and you prayed, finished the salat, there is no i'ada on you. You do not have to repeat. Why? Because you exhausted the means to find out and you, there is no easy way to find out. وَأَنْ اِخْتَلَفَ مُشْتَهِدَانِ لَمْ يَتَّبِعْ أَحَدُهُمَا صَاحِبَهُ And if there is two mushtahids, differ on its direction, each should follow their opinion. So there is two mushtahid. Here we're talking about two equal ones. For example, you are with a sheikh who is knowledgeable and he knows. You say, sheikh, I have my own opinion. No. This is, you are now making a mistake. You have to follow the sheikh. If the sheikh proven wrong, then alhamdulillah, he repeats and you repeat if they are in the hadar. And if you are in the safar, if you are in the safar, there is no i'ada on both of you. Even if you thought you were right and he was wrong, but because he's more knowledgeable, you trusted him. You made taqlid to him. You understand? Khalas. But if you both equal, each one pray to his own direction. If there is a slight difference of opinion, meaning one of them thought it is 30 degrees and one of them thought it's 33 degrees, just an example. So there is a slight difference in the angle. One prays on 30 degrees and the other one prays on the 33 degrees, but they can follow one another in a jama'ah if they are praying in jama'ah. Why? Because there is a slight difference. But if there is a big difference, each one pray to his own. Because that is now based on ijtihad. But if there are clear signs, then what, even if there are two knowledgeable people, one must follow the other. One of them is wrong and the second one is correct. I do not wish to enter into the issue of whether mujtahid is musib or not, every mujtahid is correct or not. This is something I don't have time for in today's lesson. So, we understand this here. Everyone prays to his own. So, if two of them, both of them in the same direction, but slightly moving from each other, one follows the other in the jama'ah, there is no problem. But if each in a different direction, one east and one west, they don't follow each other, each one prays on his own. And here he said, وَيَتَّبِعُ الْأَعْمَى وَالْعَامِ أَوْثَقُهُمَا فِي نَفْسِهِ He said here, The blind should follow the one who can see, and the normal person follows the one who is more certain in himself. Here he said, Al-A'ma, the blind, follows the one who can see. So here it's not about knowledge, it's about reaching some kind of certainty or some kind of trust. And Al-A'mi, it's two laymen, they do not know which direction. One should follow the one who puts a little bit of a better argument or a better dalil. For example, one of them is a fisherman, and a southerly wind picks up. And a southerly wind in Sydney here normally comes from the south, which has some cold breeze in it, and come a bit strong. He says to him, "Wallahi, this is a southerly wind. It's a bit cold, it feels like it's coming from the south. So I'm going to give my back to the wind and face north. West is on where? On my left. So the west is on my left. I will turn my face towards the left, which is the Qibla." يعني, let's say it's dark and he could not work it out. He doesn't have an iPhone. طيب. The other ammi, layman, he says, "Wallahi, this is a bit of a accepted argument. Let's pray." Araft? So here, one would follow the other one who can have a little bit more, as a matter of putting a little bit of a dalil. طيب, if a person, he is praying and not directed towards the Qibla, what happens? If you see a person praying not towards the Qibla, then you must turn him to face the Qibla, and he must be soft and not be rigid about it, and turn with you towards the Qibla. Now, what is the dalil? The dalil, when the companions were praying to Bayt al-Maqdis, and Allah revealed, فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ, turn your face towards al-Masjid al-Haram. The companion narrated that to them, radiallahu anhum, and they all turned towards the Qibla, towards al-Masjid al-Haram, towards the Kaaba. الشرط السادس النية للصلاة بعينها. The sixth condition, the intention for that specific prayer. Another condition is what? The intention for the salat specifically. The intention for the salat where? Specifically. So the niyyah is before the salat, that's why it's a prerequisite and a condition. If it is inside the salat, it is a pillar. Now, the niyyah to specify the salat, and the niyyah continues throughout the salat. How? Meaning, when you stand for the salat, before the takbir, just right before the takbir, before you say Allahu Akbar, you intend within your heart to pray dhuhr. You are praying, and in your mind always, that you are praying dhuhr. If you change and becomes in your heart settled that now you're praying asr, salat gone. The salat finished. So, and the salat bi'ayniha. And this is, of course, with the ijma', the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Indeed, deeds by intention. And it is with the consensus, as Ibn Taymiyyah and others have narrated this consensus. طيب. And he said, وَيَجُوزُ تَقْدِيمُهَا عَلَى التَّكْبِيرِ بِالزَّمَنِ الْيَسِيرِ إِذَا لَمْ يَفْسَخْهَا. And he said, it is allowed to make intention a short time before takbir if it has not been annulled. Meaning, يعني before the takbir, short time. You meant to do it right before the takbir. Allahu Akbar. طيب, you have the intention. But let's say before the takbir, you're making wudu and you're walking to your salat. You made the intention that you're going to pray dhuhr. طيب خلاص الحمد لله. That would suffice you. Why? Because I do not want to enter in the difference of opinion of the madhahib. Some ulama said with the takbir. With the takbir. Yani while you're saying Allahu Akbar, you have to say it. And the last point, the intention must be in the heart, not on the tongue. The intention must be where? In the heart, not in the tongue. And that is with the agreement of the ulama, except some opinions in the Shafi'i madhab. But I will read to you what some of the Shafi'iyya have said, so you can understand. An-Nawawi rahimahullah said, في شرح المهذب, في المجموع شرح المهذب, he said, إن نوى بقلبه ولم يتلفظ بلسانه أجزأه على المذهب وبه قطع الجمهور. He said, if he intend in the heart and he does not utter it on his tongue, it would suffice him in our madhab, the Shafi'i madhab, and with it the majority have confirmed it. So It's confirmed by the majority. So, An-Nawawi said, it is the majority of the Shafi'iyya. Because some opinion in the Shafi'i madhab, they say, stands, Allahu Akbar, Nawaitu an usalli fard al-dhuhr arba' raka'at, hadir. They actually utter this. That is not from the sunnah. That is not from the sunnah to utter on the tongue. How do you know that you made the intention so the waswas does not come into your mind? Very simple. If someone asks you, what are you doing now? Where are you going? You say, Wallah, I'm going to make wudu to pray dhuhr. I mean, your intention is made up already. If you say, Ya Allah, getting up, what are you doing, Ya Wissam? You say, I'm going to pray asr. Khalas, that means your heart is an'aqad ala niyyah. Khalas, your heart is affirmed and confirmed the intention. That's it. Because when someone asks you, it comes out on your tongue automatically. Now, is the mihrab a bid'ah? Again, do we have to have the minbar 3 steps only? Is the lines in the masjid bid'ah? This reoccurs all the time. The issue of the bid'ah, ya ikhwah, is in aqa'id and ibadat. The matter of bid'ah is in what? In aqidah, in ibadat. There is something called ibadah, worship, and something called the mean to ibadah. If you want a lot of details, you can revise my lectures, A Critical Analysis of Bid'ah. They are available on the internet, on Kalamullah and other websites. Now, there is a wasila, means. A subha, the bead, is a mean to ibadah. These are means. And the bid'ah is not in the means. The bid'ah in what? In the ibadah. So, al-mihrab, by the way, what I'm telling you is what Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Baz and Uthaymeen said. So, that's not my words. The minbar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it a worship to ascend the 3 steps in the minbar? No. The minbar can be 5 steps, 10 steps, 20 steps. But when the ulama criticized the issue of the minbar, they said, the pulpit, yani, they said, it not must be high, too much, high enough to see all the people, so you can address all the people and see you. Also, the ulama, they said, not to be in the way of people. But really, to say it's a bid'ah, it's not a bid'ah. Why? Because it's a mean to a ibadah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had a tree stump. And then he changed it and made it 3 steps. If the builder made it 4 steps, it would have been 4 steps. Khalas. So minbar is a minbar. I do not worship Allah by ascending 3 steps or 5 steps. There's no way it says it's a ibadah. So it's a mean to a ibadah. Hence, it does not befall under a bid'ah. طيب. Is the line on the ground bid'ah? No. You worship Allah by being in line. Your ibadah is for you to be in the line. But the line on the ground is to correct your standing. The Prophet ﷺ used to use a stick to straighten up the lines. Now we use a line. Khalas. Al-mihrab wabihi, and this is the words of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, wa'alayhi amalul muslimin. And why I'm mentioning Shaykh al-Uthaymeen? Because I know there are some brothers a bit touchy. No, a'udhu billah, it's a bid'ah. Tayyib. Do we have to have it? No, we don't. I don't have to build it. If I'm building a new masjid, I don't have to have it. There is microphones today, I don't need the mihrab. A masjid have a mihrab in it. Yeah? No problem, alhamdulillah. We can pray in it. You understand? And same thing, the subha. The subha, is it a bid'ah? Wallahi, the subha is for you to count on it. Of course, to show off that you're carrying a subha and you are, mashallah, a pious dhakir lillah. This is then goes back on the issue of a'mal al-qulub, your heart is corrupted. But for you to carry a mushaf, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, to remember Allah, khalas. After the salat, the sunnah is to do tasbih on your fingers. هذه وسيلة لعبادة وليست عبادة. This is a mean to a ibadah, but it's not a ibadah. You do not say that If I make tasbih on the misbaha, my tasbih is multiplied. Then this is a bid'ah. You understand? But for you to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and that is the fatawi of Ibn Taymiyyah and Mashayikh al-Da'wah, and that is known about that. You see sometimes a big confusion about this matter amongst the Shabab, because they cannot differ between a wasila and between a ibadah. طيب. نعم يا مالك. طيب. يا حبيبي. Imitating the Christians, I taught kitab Sirat al-Mustaqim. Proudly, I'd say it 3 times. اقتضاء Sirat al-Mustaqim by Ibn Taymiyyah, I taught it 3 times. What I concluded, and this is the word of the ulama and the mashayikh, قضية التشبه. التشبه in something, when it becomes specifically for them, when it becomes specifically for Ahlul Bid'ah or the Kuffar, is it specifically for them, the Subha? How do you know it? Take an example. When you see someone dressed in a certain way, you say he's a kafir. True or not? There are some clothing, like for example, the black robe with the long black hat, that gives the image, the Orthodox wear, Christian Orthodox. When you see him, automatically you say this person is an Orthodox priest. Straight away you point at him. Now for you to wear that clothing, that is tashabbuh bil kuffar. But to see a person carrying a subha, can you say this person is from the kuffar because he's carrying a subha? Why? Because the subha is not a sign of the kuffar anymore. Maybe it used to be, but it becomes now common amongst the Muslims. And the Muslims adopted it, became one of their traits. So, but look, yani there's no issue if you don't feel comfortable with it, alhamdulillah. But you cannot say that this person who's carrying a subha is doing a bid'ah. You see? So, al-mahalib, the ulama have accepted it to be from the act of Ahlul Islam. Not necessarily for you to build it, but if you build it, there's no issue in it. And also gives the direction of the Qibla. How many masajid here we have that people go in and, which way is the Qibla, Sheikh? Now imagine if there is no Sheikh, even here. Imagine if there is no Sheikh in the Markaz. Wallahi, yesterday, Regent Spark, I was giving my dars about Aqidat Shia. A brother walked in late and he's praying the wrong way, because there's nothing to say, where's the Qibla? The brother said, hey, the Qibla is this way. If there is a mihrab, there is a sign. Tayyib. The sign, a big red sign that says Al-Qibla and put an arrow. If we're going to say the means are from the bid'ah, we say this is a bid'ah. Why? Because it never existed in the masjid of the Prophet. Has it existed? No. So here, min al-muhdathat. So we need to pay attention to this. So these are from the issues which are considered wasa'il lil bid'ah. Wasa'il means of ibadah, means to ibadah, and the means are open and they're not restricted. As long as the mean in itself is allowed. The mean could be in itself haram. The mean could be in itself haram. طيب.